are your family stories? The ones that you tell over and over again, the ones that never seem to wear out. One of my families goes like this. One evening when I was little, maybe 4 or 5, my godfather was over for dinner. Family friends were often at our house, and I was used to listening to and occasionally joining in the conversation. That night, however, I was not content with the topics at hand, and having sat through lots of boring grown-up conversation, perhaps you can relate, I interjected, "Why can't we talk about something I want to talk about?" "All right, what would you like to talk about?" some patient adult responded. And I think it must have been around Halloween, because my response came triumphantly, "Candy!" And so the candy conversation was born. That night we went around the table and everyone shared their favorite candy. Reese's peanut butter cups, those violet candies that came in the little square tube, wax lips, Skittles. I was thrilled. This story has been told many, many times in my family. So many times that although I don't have any clear memories of the evening, I can recount it to all of you. It's not a particularly gripping or adventurous tale. No one got lost in a train station. No cute and mischievous pets are involved. But it's our story. It's something that we share, that helps us remember a place and a time, and that connects it to our present. This story is best told, I think, by my godfather, because he is an excellent storyteller, and I love the way he inflects certain words. But we all tell it differently. And last night, when I mentioned this to my parents, we had a whole conversation about where this actually happened. Was it at our house or his house? Was it on Halloween? Which candies were mentioned? So everyone does tell it differently. Today, when I tell it to all of you, certain things stick in my memory when others don't. Different parts get remembered or re-remembered. It changes. Maybe your family stories aren't shared with your siblings or your parents or your grandchildren. Maybe they're shared by longtime friends or by colleagues or by your community of faith. I know there are many deep Redeemer family stories in this congregation. No matter the group that shares the story, whether everyone agrees exactly on how things played out, or if the fish gets a little bigger with every telling, whoever tells the story, who tells the story has implications for what is remembered and what is forgotten. In our readings from Deuteronomy and Mark today, we find ourselves smack in the middle of the telling and the retelling of the family story of the people of Israel. A story of who they are and how they should live. A story about what to remember above all else. In Deuteronomy, we meet Moses, gathered with the people of Israel at the end of their journey to the Promised Land. The book of Deuteronomy is framed as an address by Moses to the gathered people. In it, he rehashes the mighty works of God that brought them to this point and instructs the people on how to live out their covenant with God. Loyalty to God and love of God are the condition of their new life. This is made clear in our passage from Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Keep these words in your heart, Moses says. Tell them to your children. Carry them with you everywhere, always. The verses that I quoted directly, the ones beginning, "Hear, O Israel," and the verses that follow make up the beginning of the Shema. Shema means hear in Hebrew. It's that first word of the first line. And the Hebrew text of the first line of the Shema and its English translation are on the cover of your bulletin. This commandment is the heart of the law, repeated over and over, and central to the life, prayer, and story of the people of Israel. The Shema continues to be recited in Jewish morning blessings and evening prayers today, as Deuteronomy instructed, as well as throughout other prayer services. It is one of the central tenets of Jewish faith. It is central to the story of the people of Israel, the people of God. It reaffirms God's covenant with them and reminds them how they are to live it out. With all of this, perhaps it is no wonder that Jesus quotes the Shema in our reading from Mark. In Mark, we meet Jesus in Jerusalem. He has come and gone with palm branches and hosannas. He has turned over the tables in the temple, and after retreating from the city, returned once more. Jesus speaks to the gathered scribes and Pharisees, religious elders, in parables. He tells them stories, and he answers their questions with questions of his own. A scribe, overhearing all of this heated conversation, comes near and asks Jesus, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus begins by quoting the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." If this first commandment is so ubiquitous, and it is, I wonder why the scribe asked. Seems like a pretty basic question, especially for a rabbi. Perhaps the scribe was curious. Jesus had been in heated discussion with religious leaders. What would happen with this question? Jesus had reinterpreted each of their questions before. What would he say to this? Perhaps it was the scribe's way of asking, "Teacher, who do you say that we are? How would you tell our story?" In his response to the scribe, Jesus roots himself squarely in the faith of his community, in the teachings of the law that have been handed down for generations and generations. He knows that family story very well. But his version of the story is a little different. Jesus continues, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The second commandment has precedent in Jewish law and Hebrew teaching from Hebrew scripture. The love of one's neighbor was not reserved for Jesus and his followers. But the command to love one's neighbor has nowhere near the same status as the Shema. Presenting these two commandments together, Jesus offers his own interpretation of this great family story with his own inflections and his own emphasis. This is who we are. This is how we should live. This is what we should remember. I wonder how you would tell this family story, where the emphasis would fall, what the new inflections would be. Through Christ, we have been made members of the family of God. We are all part of the story now. We all get to tell it. And not every telling is worth repeating. There are versions of the story of God, because let's be clear, that's whose story this is. There are versions of the story of God that cause incredible harm, justifying violence, hatred, oppression, and greed of all kinds. Versions that distort and corrupt, sowing death instead of life? Too many have been harmed by the name of Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. Whoever tells the story gets to choose what is remembered and what is forgotten in their telling. So I invite you, will you tell your version of our family story with God? Will you invite someone else into it? Will you ask them theirs and listen? As you listen and as you speak, notice what is remembered and what is forgotten, where the emphasis shifts and the inflections change. Instead of wielding it as a weapon, offer it as a gift. Tell it with your words, but even more, tell it with your lives. May we love God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our might. May we love our neighbors as ourselves. And may we tell this story always. Amen.